Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to multifamily industry operations. I'm your host, Paul Marks, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio, and we have a great show with a wonderful guest who's extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing the topic of persistent and resistant, the recurring problem of application fraud in multifamily. I have joining me by phone a longtime multifamily industry veteran and someone who, in my opinion, is one of the industry's great thought leaders, the fabulous Mike Brewer, the Chief Operating Officer of Radco Residential. Welcome, Mike.
Hey, Paul. Thank you. You're way too kind with that introduction, but I always appreciate talking to you. Thank you so much.
You're very, very welcome. This is an interesting topic, persistent and resistant, the recurring problem of application fraud in multifamily. As you know, we have listeners all over the United States, as well as Canada and even in Australia. And, how big of an issue is application fraud in multifamily? Let's start with that.
You know, it's shockingly big. And I say that on the premise that I read an article recently, and I forgive me, I won't be able to cite the source. Hopefully we maybe tag it in the show notes. But I saw a stat that suggested that 97% of multifamily properties across the nation in the United States had experienced some sort of fraud. So in my mind, that's a pretty big number.
Oh, yeah.
And it's far reaching.
And I know you're based in the Southeast. You had mentioned that Atlanta has a big issue with that.
You know, that was another interesting article that I read, and this was actually put out by an industry vendor that is attempting to at least tackle a piece of this problem. Snapt is the name of the vendor, but they had put out a report recently. I imagine this is based on their internal data, which is a pretty big data set at this point. But Atlanta leads the league, if you will, to use a sports analogy, but leads the country with like 17.9% of applications coming in that have some level of fraud. That's just in Atlanta specifically, I imagine the MSA specifically. But it's a big issue in Atlanta and other major metropolitans across the country.
And I'm just curious, you've been in the industry for some time. Have you seen an uptick in recent years? And if so, can you attribute it to anything? Has the pandemic affected anything?
Yeah, so punchline, yes. I think pandemic certainly accelerated the pace of fraud, and I'll come back to that in a second. But so I've been in the industry more years than I care to say out loud at this point, but all the way back to like recording rents on ledger cards. That was when I first got into the industry. But even then, let's say that was early 90s plus minus. And I worked for a small company at the time. But even then, you would see people come in and try to fudge numbers for income verification or even employment verification. So fraud's been around for a long, long time. I think leading up to COVID, so prior to COVID, it started to accelerate pace just by way of the internet and the advent of certainly creative technologies where people could go in and make edits to PDFs as far as paychecks go or bank statements go or any other kind of verification documentation that they would turn into industry owner or apartment owner. But I think COVID, and I read this in an article, that COVID accelerated the pace in the sense that now you are getting applications based on no human interaction. So you could show up, you could look at an apartment, never interact with a human, fill out an application online, put all your documentation into a platform and get approved without ever seeing one. So I think that sort of anonymity exacerbates the problem because there is no human sitting across from another human asking simple questions or having the ability to have dialogue back and forth about a person's identity. So, yeah, it's, I think the prompt, big prompts, internet, creative platforms, and certainly COVID.
Yeah. Hey, we've got about 6 minutes left in the this segment. What something that comes to mind is, you know, we've all seen, rents accelerate and increase over the last, 5-6 years to some of the highest rates that anyone could imagine. Also making it more difficult for potential residents to qualify. Do you think that has something to do with people fudging because they want to qualify, but yet they may or may not have the income exactly that they're required to have?
Yeah, I definitely think the pandemic hurt a lot of people in that respect, and certainly being evicted out of one home and needing another place to live. And let's face it, it's a basic human need, right? Shelter along with water and food. It's a basic human need to function in life. And so I think when people are in desperate times, they certainly resort to things like doctoring a paycheck stub, and or if they don't have a job, therefore not a paycheck stub, they can actually get a paycheck stub and submit that as part of a qualifying process, even though they don't have employment to back it up, right?
Right.
And they can fudge bank statements, PDF bank statements. You can add zeros here or one there, three there, whatever it takes to meet the income qualification and any other kind of income documents. I think this especially applies also to like gig workers who were impacted by the pandemic, even though they still had gainful employment. Maybe that employment wasn't so gainful because they reduced hours or reduced calls for their assistance or their service. But even more exaggerated that, like, identity fraud, right, where somebody borrows somebody else's identity and uses that to make applications. So, yeah, I think the pandemic certainly hurt a lot of people and probably amplified their need to go out and try to get into an apartment without following the natural and right way to do it.
Yeah, we got about 3 minutes left in this segment. Let's talk a little bit about the different types of fraud or different kinds of fraud that are out there in the multifamily industry. What have you seen?
Yeah, so there's three, and we sort of made mention of those in this last reply, but certainly in the application process, when you turn in your application, we in the industry like to ask for pay stubs as a backup for your employment verification or a letter from your employer. And then along with that, bank statements and like I said, other income documents. But some way for us to verify that you have employment, gainful employment, that would back up your ability to make payment. So there's certainly that on the application side, the documents to back that up. Fake IDs, this type of fraud where I basically adopt the identity of someone else by way of a fake ID, this is interesting in two respects, and I've got a story to illustrate this. There are fraud rings that literally will go out and find fake IDs, and they'll come into apartment communities, and they'll find, they'll put people to work inside of multifamily communities, and those people who are working for a company will actually hook up with these fraud rings, and for dollars under the table, they'll hook up with another apartment industry professional that works at another company, and they'll find somebody who has great credit at another apartment community and basically create a transaction, a little ecosystem where said consultant buys identity from other consultant, gets that back up, gives that to an applicant. Applicant uses identity bought from another community to get somebody into to your apartment community. So that type of fraud is certainly extreme and I hope limited in nature, but I actually saw that firsthand myself at a company I worked for, unfortunately. And then the third one is that identity theft along the lines of what I just described, but certainly not necessarily with an internal agent facilitating the transaction, but somebody that goes out and borrows an ID and basically assumes the identity of someone to get into an apartment community and do other stuff.
Yeah. I mean, that's amazing, those fraud rings. And I want to talk a little bit more about that in the upcoming segments, as far as, you know, what does that mean to a company if they've got an in-house employee who's participating in that? Yeah, and potentially, you know, some advice from you on what they can do to try and detect any of that going on. But we're going to take a break here. We're going to be right back after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Control by Net provides communities with video surveillance solutions accessible 24/7 from any web browser or mobile device. Our remote guarding reduces crime in garages and mailrooms. Many top owners and managers already utilize our services and love the single sign-on feature to see all properties. As NAA and NMHC members, Control by Net only serves multifamily. Our cloud and managed video solution is consistently voted easiest to use. We meet any compliance requirements. Visit us at www.controlbynet.com or email us for a free site survey at crproperty@controlbynet.com.
We are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio, and we're discussing the topic of persistent and resistant, the recurring problem of application fraud in multifamily. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, and in my opinion, one of our industry's great thought leaders, the fantastic Mike Brewer, the Chief Operating Officer of Radco Residential. Before we jump back into the conversation, I do want to remind our listeners, if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen in the archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Mike, in the last segment, you were talking about fraud rings, where there's actually... you've seen in the past where there's actually an employee of a multifamily company who is participating in providing information for other properties, for people to commit fraud on other properties. What kind of advice can you give to for someone to try and determine if they've got an issue like that or if they suspect it? What can they do?
Yeah, Paul, that, and I got to tell you, that was the most stunning story, and I am quite sad that it happened to our organization, but it was a stunning story, and I can't recall off the top of my head the actual catalyst that you know, it cost for us to find her out, but I would say I think the way that you really look out for this kind of thing is that if you have a leasing consultant, in this case it was a leasing consultant, if you have a leasing consultant whose closing ratios are, you know, 90% plus, I'm making the number up, but they are extraordinary as it relates to other leasing consultants in your organization or comparing, contrasting with the same property, certainly that might be a tell for digging deeper into one's efforts as it relates to leasing. Certainly paying very, very close attention to those applications when you're putting them in to review, whether it goes through an assistant manager in a traditional sense or through a property manager or even through technologies today. If there's, you just got to almost become a detective as it relates to those application approval processes, just to make sure that you don't have something like this happening inside of your organization.
But then certainly
asking, I think making it a topic of conversation in your office, talking about fraud on an ongoing basis in your office, so can certainly make team members feel uncomfortable. Team members who are bad actors feel uncomfortable to the point that they may not participate in that type of activity.
Yeah, no, that's all great advice and something that hopefully people will take heed of. I want to talk a little bit about the economies of fraud. There's cost associated with it, obviously, to a multifamily operation. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, and this is a topic that I think exacerbated a little bit with the pandemic. Certainly, the time it takes to evict someone under normal circumstances could be upwards of 6 to 9 months, or could be. I think that many of these things are wearing off in the industry as COVID seems to be in the rearview mirror now. But fraud, when you actually let someone get through the system on a fraudulent basis, and then you try to go about evicting them, it is a 6 month plus or minus process. I think I read a stat somewhere, it's 6.5 months to get somebody out. Now, you've lost rent for that time, but you've also lost turning the cost to turn the apartment, the cost to relet it, the cost of marketing, and so on and so forth. So this could number in the tens of thousands of dollars per apartment. And if you've got, who knows, 10 to 15% of your community that's in on a fraudulent basis, now that's probably an extreme number. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's more like 5 to 7%, but still a big number. And when you put the multiplier to it, that could mean hundreds of thousands of dollars of loss related to fraud for a community. Easily.
Wow. I mean, that's and then I guess how it affects your NOI is significant as well.
Oh, certainly. When you bring that all the way down to NOI, and when you're valuing the community and you put a cap rate to it, whether it's a current day cap rate or when we're at the peak of the market type of cap rate, that could translate into millions of dollars of value lost to the community. Now, how bank looks at that or how buyer looks at that, not 100% sure, but it can certainly impact the value of the community. But, you know, not just from a rent standpoint or evaluation standpoint, but when you think about the toll it takes on not only the resident base, because you get bad actors in there, they behave badly in other ways, right? But also for team members, the time it takes to manage those type of relationships when they get in there, and there's almost a disdain for any kind of rules, regulations, et cetera, for the community. So there's a bigger toll that it takes beyond economics, if you will.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, we kind of hinted in the first segment or covered a little bit about how technology is now making fraud easier, the technologies that are available. Let's take a little bit deeper dive in that. What have you seen with the different types of technology, and how is it being used to commit fraud?
Yes, this is amazing in my mind. Probably not surprising, but amazing. If you were to Google like fake pay stubs or some phrase like that, put that into Google, press the search bar or enter, it would yield some 500,000 results plus or minus. I think the last time I did it, 500,000 plus or minus results for companies that will actually provide for a fee a fake pay stub.
Oh, wow.
You can put your credit card in, put in a few details, and that site will actually spit out a document that looks as real as it gets for a paycheck. That's amazing to me.
That's unbelievable.
And the even more astonishing thing is that some of these sites, they actually kind of pose or front themselves as like real legitimate companies that are there to kind of guide business owners, legitimate business owners, in the way of payroll processing or payroll kind of identification or ways to create paychecks for their team members. But on the backside, on the dark side of that same website, they'll create the fake document. Now, they do it under the premise that, hey, this is just novelty, right? It's just there as a picture or an example of what an employer can use to create a paycheck. But they turn right around and say, hey, for this fee, you can buy this thing, right? And that's how people get in and get fake pay stubs to turn into apartment communities for verification of employment.
Oh, wow. We've got about 3 minutes left. What other things are you seeing as far as, I mean, like, you know, pay stubs, getting those documents you need, but for instance, renter's insurance. Is anybody doing that?
Yeah, this is an incredible story in my mind, and I'll leave the victims unnamed, but it's incredible. So this is another example of where there was an employee inside of the organization, and person comes in, provides fake documents, pay stubs, bank statements, and then goes so far as to create a fake renter's insurance document. And so this person wouldn't have to pay for renter's insurance. That's my assumption. Now, had that person got in, paid their rent, never caused a problem, we quite likely would never have known about that in the industry. You wouldn't know, right?
Mm-hmm.
If that person is a good actor and they just needed to get in for whatever driving reason. In this particular instance, a fire breaks out in this apartment. It's a stovetop fire, but it causes a ton of damage. And not only from the fire itself, but from the fire department coming out and hosing it down. It just creates a tremendous amount of damage in the apartment and outside of the apartment because the water just goes, you know, path of least resistance. So it's more than one apartment that's impacted. So company goes to file on the renter's insurance policy and discovers that it's fake. And then we start, you know, in my head, at least peeling back the layers of the onion and discover that the entire application and all the basis for it was completely fraudulent. And couldn't file, that particular company could not file on the renter's insurance because it was fake.
And you said that there was inside help inside of the property from an employee?
Yeah, the story that was being told me is that the consultant in this case had actually helped that resident that was moving into the community, helped them get past all the documentation that was necessary to get into the apartment by helping them. In this particular case, the renter's insurance document was actually a forged PDF document that had some information on it. And the way the story was told, when you looked really closely at the insurance document, you could tell that it had been doctored in some way. But at kind of a first glance, without really looking at it, it looked completely legitimate. But yes, the employee at this particular community, at this particular company, had actually helped that resident move into the community.
Wow. Well, we've got much more to talk about on this topic, but we're going to stop this segment right here. We're going to be back after this short break. You are listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
SMART is a national multifamily research and analytics company providing market, property, and floor plan level data to track performance, evaluate competitive strategies, and identify potential investment opportunities. Their innovative web-based software and mobile application contains extensive searchable inventory of granular historical data, floor plan by floor plan rents, concessions, and availabilities for enhanced analysis and forecasting. For more information or to sign up for a free trial, go to smartapartmentdata.com.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing the topic of persistent and resistant, the recurring problem of application fraud in multifamily. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, one of our industry's great thought leaders, the amazing Mike Brewer, the Chief Operating Officer of Radco Residential. Before we jump back into the conversation, I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rev, the leasing management company. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Control by Net, providing multifamily video surveillance and remote guarding, solving your security needs. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. Balanced Asset Solutions. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today. Smart Apartment Data, the most comprehensive and up-to-date intelligence on the multifamily industry, and CTS, Complete Technology Solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, Mike, we've talked a lot about the technology and the cost of fraud, the different types of fraud. It's a time. It sucks the time out of a crew, on a property, an on-site team, having to deal with these types of things. Let's talk a little bit about that. What are you seeing there?
Yeah, this is interesting. I have a couple of stories for this. So, a swarm of applications may come into a community in one of two means, either. Going back to the rings of fraud or fraud rings, let's say a ring of 20, this is an actual story, 20 different people that were all part of one ring came into one apartment community and leased apartments. So 20 different applications in a community, right? You can imagine the it's sort of yay for us kind of mentality until you start to dig in and the people start running the applications and collecting all the documentation. And all of a sudden, the 20 people who made application for these started overwhelming the on-site team and put the team into crisis mode, in a sense, so that they started to sort of fudge on their process and their procedure or their disciplines and routines related to qualifying an applicant. And they overwhelmed them so much so that they actually, part of this 20-team ring actually gets into the apartment community in a fraudulent way, simply because the on-site team didn't have the time, but probably better said, the discipline to actually take the time to go through the qualifying process, whether that be, you know, verifying the employment through the pay stubs or verifying income through the bank statements or verifying the identification through whatever process or means that they have for that. They just didn't do it. They just call it pencil whipped it and let many of these people into the apartment community. And going back to the cost for something like that ended up costing the community tons and tons of money as it relates to those people not paying rent and certainly having to get them out and relet those apartments. So that's one way. Now, another, this was a very interesting example that I actually read about this one. One person made 15 applications at 15 different communities. This happened here in Atlanta. 15 different communities, one person, all fraudulent, in an effort to just get one apartment community to actually let them in, right? Mm-hmm. So you've got these different forms of kind of fraudulent rings, whether it be mass number of people trying to make applications in a community in the hopes of getting a few in, or one person who applies at many communities in a fraudulent way just to get somebody to say yes to let them in. This is just incredible lengths that people would go to get this done.
And, you know, I imagine that, you know, it takes time for the on-site team to determine if it's a legitimate application. What kind of time does that typically take?
Yeah, so let me go back in time. There was a point in time, and I'm going to suggest this was the late 90s, maybe it was the mid-aughts. But there was a time when criminal background checks and credit check agencies or platforms would come in and pitch to you, and they would say, hey, in the push of a button, you should be able to qualify an applicant and have them communicate to them that they're approved to move in within an hour or within 2 hours, whatever it might be, because you can eliminate the paycheck verification. You can eliminate the calling other landlords. You can eliminate all this stuff because, hey, we've got it all figured out. It's an algorithm now. You can just press a button and let people in. And we used to say forward-facing to the client, hey, 24 hours, we can have you approved because we could always overpromise or underpromise, overdeliver, right? Mm-hmm. We'll say 24 hours, but we could approve you in, say, 2 hours, so we could call you and really impress you that we were fast mm-hmm. and efficient at our jobs. But not anymore, not in my head. You have to go back to the old school method of actually calling employers to verify, or picking up the phone and calling the bank to verify balances in bank accounts, or in, you know, looking online to make sure that said photo ID is actually the picture next to the social, you know, like be it Facebook, Instagram, or other platforms, make sure those two pictures match. I mean, you really have to become a detective anymore to make sure that the application is actually legit and the person is legit and all the backup documentation is legit to get in. And that, to your question, takes a ton of time. I don't know what the average time per application is now, but my imagination tells me with the back and forth that you'd have to go through to make all that stuff happen, it's a good three hours plus minus per person, and that's probably on a good day if everybody answers the phone and actually responds to you. So it's taken a tremendous amount of time from our team members, which could otherwise be invested in, you know, customer service or helping people with other issues or concerns they might have in your community.
And so how does that affect your legitimate applications that you get? You're taking more time now. Do you stand the risk of losing leases?
So this was interesting. This is an interesting story that happened at a property where we had a lease up. So it's somebody make application, and the time it took for us, and I know we'll talk about platforms in a little bit, so I won't get too far ahead, but person comes in, makes application, and we put them through a process, and it's very rigorous. And somewhere in that process, let's say 75% through, person just drops out. And we call them, we follow up. We finally get in touch with them, and they say, hey, look, your process is just it's too much. And by the time I got 75% of the way through your application approval process, I went and applied at another community, and they got me through much faster. And so I ended up leasing there instead of leasing at your property simply because it was just more efficient for us. But in our minds, in our company, if we relax that process or we relax that system, we put ourselves at risk for all the things we've talked about up to this point in time. So it's in my head, I, as an operator, would rather run that risk and sacrifice a lease or two here or there, even though I don't like that, I'd rather do that than end up moving somebody in that causes 6 months worth of economic and time damage.
Yeah. No, that certainly makes sense. We've got about 2 minutes left. Let's talk a little bit about phony listings.
Yeah, and this is not new, but I think the technologies that allow for this to happen are certainly accelerated or advanced in nature. So this actually happened to me a long time ago. I lived in St. Louis, Missouri, and my wife and I, our family, we were looking for a home to move into, and actually drove around and found a neighborhood that I really like, and I saw a sign in the yard that said for rent, and I went up, and I ended up, at that point, one of those barcodes, think of that funny thing that I used to make. You go to a restaurant now, you put your camera on QR code.
Yeah.
So I click on a QR code that happened to be posted on the front of the door. So it's a plastic card that was on the front of the door. Click the QR code, and it seemed odd and weird. At the end of the day, I ended up not moving through with that, but I got a call from somebody, and I'm not sure how this all transpired many, many moons ago. But apparently, some bad actor had driven by the house, saw the front sign in the yard, put their own advertisement on the front door. I fell victim to, right? I click on this QR code, and I get redirected to this bad actor site. Their goal was to get me to apply, pay application fee online, and possibly deposit, and possibly first month's rent. And guess what? Never would I have moved into that house, because when I would probably follow on in that process, I'd try to get my keys or I'd do whatever. They wouldn't be there, right? Mm. Because the guy's already gone to the Bahamas with my money. So that's out there. But today it's advanced in nature. The technology is out there where people can spoof listings off of legitimate websites and put them over on other legitimate looking websites, and all of that commerce can be done right there online, and your credit card can be sunk, and you wouldn't even know it until it was too late.
Wow, that's. I mean, and I'm going to ask you a question when we get back. I'm going to break it here, but I have a question about something that I've seen online, and to see if this is something that you've come across. We're going to be back right after these messages with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to revlmc.com to find out more. That's revlmc.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today.
Looking for a solution to balance your assets? Tired of wasted time managing your day-to-day bookkeeping, buggy software implementations, inaccurate financials? Or maybe you're worried about a pending audit? Would you like more time to focus on revenue-generating activities versus accounting administrative activities? Here at Balanced Asset Solutions, we are a CPA firm that specializes in property management platforms, including Yardi and Appfolio. You can reach Balanced Asset Solutions now at 619-415-6826. Go visit our website at www.balancedassetsolutions.com. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today.
Control by Net provides communities with video surveillance solutions accessible 24/7 from any web browser or mobile device. Our remote guarding reduces crime in garages and mailrooms. Many top owners and managers already utilize our services and love the single sign-on feature to see all properties. As NAA and NMHC members, Control by Net only serves multifamily. Our cloud and managed video solution is consistently voted easiest to use. We meet any compliance requirements. Visit us at www.controlbynet.com or email us for a free site survey at crproperty@controlbynet.com.
Well, we are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing the topic, of persistent and resistant, the recurring problem of application fraud in multifamily. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me is one of the great thought leaders of our industry, the incomparable Mike Brewer, the Chief Operating Officer of Radco Residential. And Mike, before we ended that last segment, when you were talking about something, it reminded me that in some of the multifamily-oriented Facebook groups that I'm involved in, or that I'm a member of, I guess, I've noticed where people have posted in the past actual screenshots of what seems to be Facebook post from what I would call the bad actor who is soliciting people who want to use them to get into apartment communities. And the people who are posting these are members of the multifamily, posting these in this Facebook group where we're saying, have you seen stuff like this? What should I do about it? You know, those types of things. What type of things, how is social media playing a part in all of this?
Yeah, so I just love hate relationship with social media, and I think in some respects it's the bane of all of our existence, in that it certainly helps facilitate a lot of bad behavior that you would see in the real world, but now with anonymity can be executed online in a much more efficient, much more rapid fashion. So social media, I think for all the good that I think there is with social media, certainly there is a lot of bad, and certainly as it specifically relates to this. Now, one remark I would make about people in the industry sharing that kind of stuff in those social spaces, we should all do that in my head. Mm-hmm. Because I think that there, I'm not suggesting there's a lack of awareness that this is happening out in the industry, but there might be a lack of awareness in terms of how widespread it is, or how many different variations of fraud there are, how many different ways people are trying to get into communities in fraudulent ways. And I think to the extent that this community, you know, whether it be on the social spaces that are more specific to multifamily, or social spaces that have channels that are related to multifamily, put it out there, put every variation of it out there. If you think you put it out there enough, put it out there 10 more times, because I'm sure that somebody has not seen it.
Yes.
And could certainly benefit from that advertisement.
Yes. That definitely makes sense. I want to talk, we have about 6 minutes left before I want to transition to something else. Let's talk a little bit about some of the solutions that are available, the technological solutions, as well as the old school solutions that people can do.
Yeah, certainly. And I'll name a couple of vendors here, and just we are clients, I think, of all the ones that I mentioned, except for one. But certainly want to clarify that, and I'm not necessarily promoting or endorsing these particular platforms, although we like them. But Checkpoint ID is the first one that I would say is a good one, in the sense that it verifies, it uses some sort of technology, I think 2D, and there's another descriptor that's escaping my mind at the time or at the moment. But it's government-issued IDs, whether it be driver's license or passports. This technology actually can read those embedded technologies in those particular documents or identification documents, so that you can verify whether they're real or not. Mm-hmm. So we like that, and I certainly think that's something that should be in your solution stack. SNAPT is another one. This one actually verifies whether documents, as I understand it, it can actually read PDF documents and understand whether those documents that have actually been doctored or not. And they have a pretty high probability, 99.8% success rate in identifying something, if something has been doctored. So SNAPT is another thing that I think you got to have in your stack. Approved Shield is something that we're looking at right now. It's identity verification as it relates to documents and IP addresses and other ways of verifying one's identity. This is one that we're actually looking at right now. We don't actually employ it, but it seems pretty interesting to me, and just another layer of protection as it relates to identifying fraud in a process. And then if that seems pretty overwhelming, because now you have three different technologies and three different platforms, and I imagine there are more, something that's been interesting as of late, there's a company called Vero, V-E-R-O, which I think is an interesting platform in the sense that they put all of these things together, all the things that I just mentioned, if I'm not misremembering, plus your credit and your background verification all in one workflow. Mm. So you could go to a one-stop shop and have all of these technologies in one system as opposed to having to go to three different systems to get somebody verified before you move them into your community. So all are very interesting, and certainly if any of your listeners know of others, I would love to hear about them myself. Old school, I got to tell you, we've gone back to making phone calls to employers, making phone calls to banks, certainly doing Google searches or social media searches, doing everything that we possibly can to verify one's identity before they move into our community, because the cost of not doing it so outweighs the time that it takes to do it, that it's just worth it right now. Until we get that one solution that comes along that changes everything, I think you've got to do it. You owe it to your team members and you owe it to your community to take the extra steps.
Yeah, certainly. We've got about 2.5 minutes left. Let's talk quickly about the consequences of application fraud.
Yeah, this is I'm really struggling with consequences. You know, I don't want to come across as a crass individual, certainly, or somebody that doesn't have compassion or empathy, because I do think that there are cases where people are attempting to exercise fraud to get into community because they're just desperate. And whether that was pandemic induced or other things that have happened in one's life, especially when children are involved, but I think until you level some kind of consequence on an individual or a ring, I mean, that would probably be the best way to solve or the companies that are actually producing these documents for people, until you get out there and you level some real world consequence on individuals like that, I just think that fraud is going to continue to be rampant and it's going to accelerate in pace. So I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I certainly hope we can start a discussion as it relates to figuring out ways to combat this, even if that means, you know, punishment through, we got to do something because it is really impacting communities. And let's throw the economics out for a minute. It's impacting our team members. There's certainly a lot of stress put on them. It's impacting people that live in and around the people who create these kinds of frauds. As I mentioned earlier, the behaviors that go beyond just fraudulent behavior getting into the community. They act out in other ways in your community. But it just wears you down over time. So I think we've got to find a solution for it.
All right. Well, we could talk about this for another segment, but I want to transition now and ask you, first of all, if someone wants to reach out to you, how can they do that if they have questions? The second thing is, talk a little bit about what's going on at RADCO. And then I happen to know, and as a lot of people do in the multifamily industry, that you've got a podcast called Multifamily Collective. I've tuned in and have been fortunate enough to be a guest on there as well. And it's a great way to get information. Plus, you also do a blog as well. So talk a little bit about that and let people know how they can reach you.
Yeah, you can reach me on the social channels. If you just put in my name in multifamily, I come up all over the place. But mbrewer@radco.us is my email address, and certainly willing to engage in any kind of dialogue, whether it be this topic or others. RADCO, wow. I've described it as a blade as like drinking from two fire hoses at the same time because we pivoted a little bit in our organization. I think by the end of the year, we have closed on 10 hotels, primarily here in the Southeast and in Florida, which is not necessarily a new segment for us. The company itself was actually born as a hotel organization, but then segued into multifamily and then now back into hotels over the last 28 years, plus minus. So closed on 10 hotels. We also closed on three Class A multifamily deals in Atlanta, or two, rather. We're about to close on our third the Friday after Thanksgiving. And then outside of that, we have just been attempting to onboard all of that stuff and put all the infrastructure, systems, processes, and disciplines and routines in place to execute on that, as we so well do. But yeah, it's been really busy at Radco.
Yeah, that sounds like it.
Tell us
about your podcast.
Go ahead. Yeah, definitely. Thank you. Collective or Multifamily Collective is just a labor of love. It's something I've been doing since 2008, back when blog was something that made it sound like you were clearing your throat, not necessarily a written article. So we've been writing blogs. I think we have some 3,000 articles plus minus at last count that we've been putting out over the years. And then sometime around, I'm going to say 2013, 14, I started doing daily video podcasts, just really short in nature, tried to make them inspirational, motivational, or informational. And then got quite inspired, actually, by you in terms of the interview sort of platform. You invited me onto your show. It feels like it's 3 years ago. It was actually in person the first time I was on your show, and thank you for that. But I was inspired by that and thought, you know what, I could do some interviews, and really under the premise that I just love the education that I get out of talking to other people in the industry and other people outside of the industry. So, yeah, we're going on a long time and have put lots of content out into the world.
And if somebody wants to take advantage of either listening or subscribing, how can they do that?
Yeah, if you just go to multifamilycollective.com, there is a bar there that you put your email address in. We publish a newsletter every Friday. We certainly put out content every day on the vlog. Mm-hmm. And then we try to do Tuesday and Thursday cadence as it relates to an interview published on Tuesday on YouTube and on LinkedIn. And then on Thursday, we try to put out an article on LinkedIn and on our blog specifically. So there are all kinds of places. We try to hit them all. We're trying to figure out our TikTok strategy right now. And that's kind of crazy. But
well, that's fantastic, Mike. Thank you so much for being on today. And, definitely want to have you back again soon, whenever we can. But we are going to be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.